Up next in today's WFHB Community Report, we look at how Bloomington may be affected by changes to the way the federal government provides housing grants. Casey Ross has that story.
On May 2nd, Middleway House was notified that they were no longer going to be receiving the Continuum of Care grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
You know, I would have to say that I was flabbergasted.
That's Toby Strout, the executive director of Middleway House. She says that they've been receiving this grant since the late 90s. The Continuum of Care grant is a federal grant that gives shelters funding to move individuals and families into permanent and transitional housing programs. And it provides a good chunk of funding for Middleway House's transitional housing program, Thrive.
I kept thinking that I'm reading it wrong. And so I started looking at the list in every possible way, under the M's for Middleway House, under the R's for Rise, under the T for the Rise. You know, I kept thinking something is wrong here because we were so assured we had nothing to worry about.
Over the past several years, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD for short, decided that they were going to put more of an emphasis on rapid rehousing and permanent housing programs in shelters across the state and in the country. Brian Sullivan, a head spokesperson for HUD, defines permanent housing in a simple way.
Permanent supportive housing is quite literally a permanent place where people can call their own.
So there's permanent supportive housing and there's transitional housing. Most shelters in Bloomington fall into the transitional housing category.
Transitional housing often is rental assistance or an apartment for up to 2 years. It comes with a lot of supportive services that confront why people are homeless in the first place, everything from job training, child care, maybe drug and alcohol treatment.
Sullivan said that HUD started putting more of an emphasis on permanent supported housing because it's more efficient and more cost-effective.
Well, it was really back in 2010 when the federal government and this administration struck upon a strategic plan to actually end homelessness as we've come to know it in this country. The way homelessness has been in this country is that people are all too frequently homeless. Now, back in 2010 when this plan was created, it really did challenge local communities across this country to make progress toward meeting this grand plan to end homelessness. And as time has gone on, we've increased that challenge to local communities. And never before, or never more so than this past year, where we really placed great emphasis on creating permanent housing solutions for those who are experiencing homelessness. Now, that is not to say that we're not funding transitional housing programs in this country. We are. Right now, we know how to end homelessness. Transitional housing can be an important tool in managing the problem, but we're encouraging communities to offer more permanent housing solutions to even more persons and families who are experiencing homelessness.
A lot of Bloomington shelters fall into this transitional housing category. Amethyst House, Stepping Stones, and Middleway all do. And Middleway had no intention of changing to a more permanent housing approach when the grant requirements came out to say that that's what they were looking for. Executive Director Toby Strout says that domestic violence shelters work best under transitional housing.
There are certain populations, and HUD recognizes that, that actually do very well with transitional housing. Battered women are foremost in that population, but also populations suffering with substance abuse issues and unaccompanied youth. So the reason why they fall into transitional housing programs differs for each of those groups. But for abused women, the most dangerous time for a woman and her children are exactly those 2 years following her departure from the relationship. That's when women and children die. And so having a program that provides secure housing for them, a place like The Rise, where to get in from the street, you have to have a key code, where to get from the lobby to the residential area, you have to have a key code, where there is staff on hand that is checking people who are not residents who want to get into the building, that are monitoring the security cameras, is of paramount importance. There is no housing in our community that offers that kind of safety, for that matter, any kind of safety for people with low incomes.
Even though Middleway knew that HUD was moving towards a permanent housing approach with this grant, they applied anyway. Toby says that they were told that transitional housing programs like domestic violence shelters would be covered. So when they found out that they weren't going to receive the funding, donor relations manager Emily Milner thought something was wrong.
I mean, I was also extremely confused because, you know, as she was saying, like, this is the best way to help these people. And we were told, yes, we understand this is the best way to help these people. And so we come in and we just are like, oh, it's not there. What do we do? Then also for me, as the person who raises a lot of the funds, I was going, how can we make this up? Because we can't let the people that live there and our staff and like everyone who helps not have that anymore. So I was then trying to figure out, what do we do to correct this? Like, first of all, how do we convince them to change their mind if possible? But then after that, how do we correct this? Because, you know, we can't just say goodbye to this because we don't have funding anymore.
But HUD says that Middleway had known for years that the government agency had been prioritizing permanent housing over transitional. Terry Porter, a former senior advisor for HUD, wrote a guest column to the Herald Times claiming that Middleway had been told of the changes. She says, quote, several years ago, the department began notifying grantees with transitional housing projects that these projects would not be funded in the future and that these grantees need to restructure their programs to a permanent housing model, unquote. And Brian Sullivan from HUD also says that shelters across the U.S. knew a shift was taking place.
The research tells us that these permanent housing solutions are not only more efficient, but much more cost-effective in terms of ending homelessness. And so that's where we're placing great emphasis these days. And everybody out there kind of knows that this is the movement in this country. There is a national movement toward providing permanent housing solutions for both individuals and families who are experiencing homelessness.
Middleway has to come up with the funding from different outlets, and they've been trying to do just that. Rachel Hemsel, who is the events manager at Middleway, has been planning fundraising events and attempts to secure funding in other ways. Middleway's Emily Milner says that the community has also outreached a helping hand. Many have written to the Herald Times showcasing their anger towards HUD. Others have called Middleway directly.
After the initial articles came out, we did get a lot of emails and some phone calls just being like, what are you going to do next? Like, what's the next step? How can we help? A few people called to start pledges, to be like, can we help to get the RISE back on its feet? Many people have asked about the whole appeal process, if there's anything they can do to create outrage to assist in seeing that this is an important thing to do. But we're still in the middle of trying to figure out the best thing to go forward.
Middleway has appealed the grant, but Toby Strout says it's a long shot that they will receive it. She says they've already gone so far as to ask U.S. Senator Joe Donnelly for help.
There is an appeal process, but you can only appeal because you have found HUD in error in your scoring, and HUD did not release our score. We went all the way to Donnelly's office to ask Donnelly to require them to release our score. We never received our score. So yes, we filed an appeal, but we did it at a great disadvantage. And I think that there is something very seriously wrong when a government agency provides a false opportunity, makes it look like something is available, and it isn't.
The RISE at Middleway House will be covered until December of this year. After that, they're not quite sure what they'll do. Toby says that the employees are worried about the individuals they serve.
When I went across the street to the RISE to talk to the staff about the fact that we had lost the funding, not a single one of the staff members said, oh my God, what about my job? Not a single one. Every single one of them said, but what will our families do?
And Emily thinks that those families will have no choice but to go back to their abuser.
If the RISE, for some reason, would have to stop being, you know, a service to provide, a lot of, like, the women and their children that live in our shelter, you know, they would have to find a place to go. And not all of them, a lot of them are in our system, like our programs, because their family won't help them. They don't have anywhere to go. It's either us, the streets, or back to the abuser. And if we go away, they're going to go back to the abuser because at least that's a home. And even if it's not good, they at least like are aware of how to survive in it. And so if we get rid of this, we're just funneling those women and those children right back into those bad situations, and they won't be able to leave.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Casey Ross.